And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to our Thanksgiving holiday long weekend show. Coming up, Annalisa Simonson, Director of Operations, and Kaylee Jorgensen, Director of Marketing, join us from Creek and Gully Cider. Mark Hicken, the Executive Director of the Canadian Alliance for Responsible Drinkers, will be on the show. And for those of you listening on Vancouver Island, Brent Muller, GM at Victoria's Vessel Liquor, joins us to help you find some Thanksgiving picks for the table. But up next, Francesco Ricasoli, owner of Tuscany's legendary Ricasoli Wines, joins us for a mini masterclass on Chianti and a thousand-year look back at Sangiovese. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan, and my guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, on the show, we talk a lot about the wineries of the Cowichan, and we enjoy talking about the rich culture of the area, in particular about the local Indigenous culture. What can you tell us more about the First Nations?
Yeah, it's really important to acknowledge that Cowichan is home to 10 Indigenous communities. It's located on the traditional territories of the Kowatsin, Malahat, Subasit, Halalt, Penelakit, Stamenis, Lyakson, Pakwichin, Didi-Dot, and Patchy-Dat peoples.
That is amazing, and it's good to know that the arts and culture continue to be active in the Cowichan Valley.
Yeah, definitely. First Nations culture has always been and will remain a big part of Cowichan's fabric. The famous Cowichan sweaters can be found throughout the region, which feature Coast Salish designs. Cowichan also features a variety of other highly talented artists, painters, potters, sculptors, woodcarvers, jewelers, glassblowers. You can see their work throughout home studios and art galleries.
And beyond the arts and culture, Cowichan also is a popular destination for outdoor adventures.
Absolutely. Cowichan is a huge hiking and mountain biking destination with a large network of trails, everything from beginner-friendly to extreme terrain. The region's warm climate makes it one of the only regions in BC that has year-round mountain biking. So there are over 170 trails covering 180 kilometers.
And no worry about being exhausted. We can do some water activities after the big mountain climb.
Yeah, Cowichan features oceans, rivers, and lakes, so there's easy access to water activities. You can go paddling, sailing, fishing, swimming, even whitewater kayaking. Far west in the region lies Nitnat Lake, which is an internationally acclaimed destination for windsurfing and kiteboarding.
Fantastic opportunity to rediscover Indigenous culture and all the activities of the Cowichan has to offer. Kenzie, an absolute pleasure learning about this today.
You're most welcome.
Make your plan to visit the Cowichan at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout out to West Kelowna and all 25 other cities listening across the province of BC to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our first guest today is Baron Francesco Ricasoli. He's the owner and president of Ricasoli and Chianti Classico. We couldn't be happier to catch up with you, Francesco. How are you today?
Hi, Anthony. Fantastic. Very well.
I should have mentioned earlier, like, are you in the middle of harvest, or is it over, or what's going on in the vineyards in Chianti?
Oh, no, we are just at the beginning. So we are just picking the grapes that are good for let's say, making the rosé or the white early ripening grape variety. That's it. But Sangiovese, our most important grape variety, no, it's still too early.
Still too early. Okay. Well, let's start with your family. Is it, you go back to 1141. I don't even understand how anybody can stay in business that long. Is there a secret that you can share with us about that?
Oh, no, there are no secrets. Anyhow, you know, 1141 is just an exact date because at that time there was a notary act that was stating that the Ricardoli were already living and owning this amazing castle that is Broglio.
Wow. And you, like, when you took over, you sort of gave yourself the mandate to really, really go deep into Sangiovese and to the quality of the wines that you're producing in Chianti. Can you tell us a bit what motivated you about that?
Absolutely. I mean, Chianti Classico has been already reinventing himself since several decades. When I came, we were a little bit behind respect to the others, so my full work was really to focus on the historical quality that was made in Broglio. And so clonal selection, study of the soil, study of different biotypes of Sangiovese. And I mean, it takes a long time, but it's very rewarding. No doubt Chianti Classico is having a magnificent renaissance. And yeah. We can talk about it because it's really enthusiastic.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it. Let's talk a little bit about Sangiovese because that's the grape that drives it all. And for people here maybe in North America who know Cabernet Sauvignon or Pinot Noir or those red varieties, how would you describe Sangiovese? What can you tell us about this grape that makes it so special in Tuscany?
Well, first of all, not easy to describe Sangiovese because Sangiovese is one of the most cultivated red grape variety in Italy. So you have Sangiovese from Abruzzo, central Italy, up to Emilia-Romagna. Mm-hmm. We have registered more than 130 different clones. So it depends very much where it's cultivated. So territory right. is the key, absolutely. Here in Chianti Classico, since centuries, we are cultivating Sangiovese, and especially here in Broglio, that, as you mentioned, our history goes back for many, many generations and many centuries. We have been really studying this important grape variety since we have so many different soils. So we appointed the most important research center for studying geology and the different soils. And, you know, the more you know, the better you can do. Yeah. Sangiovese, anyhow, we are talking about the Sangiovese cultivated in Chianti Classico, let's say in central Tuscany, because yep. even in Tuscany there are a lot of differences. So in Chianti Classico, historically, Sangiovese has been a great variety that always was paired with food because of its remarkable acidity, once, not anymore, and good tannic side that was very helpful when you are eating dishes with some fat contents, such as sausages or pasta with some olive and olive oil and tomato and so on. Of course, the evolution has been great in these last decades. And so today, finesse, elegance can be said to be paired with these historical characteristics.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Our guest is Francesco Ricasoli. He's the owner and president of Ricasoli Wine. And we're about to get a short master class in the classification of Chianti. Francesco, can you help my listeners? Let's start, you know, with Chianti, Chianti Classico, Reserva, and Gran Selezione. Why do you have these different ways that you classify the wines? How can you walk us through those?
So it's not that complicated at the end. In our appellation, we have three categories. Mm-hmm. For a long time, there were just two. Chianti Classico, we call it Annata, the one of the year that is released after 1.5 years of the harvest. Then there is Riserva that needs a longer aging, a more tough selection, some compulsory oak aging. And then recently, let's say since 2014, we have been introducing a new classification that is called Gran Selezione. So just the meaning of this term indicates the evolution that our appellation has been reaching recently. So there was the need to really find a space for wines that were definitely much better than the past. It's you know, then it depends on for the consumers, depend very much on the price, the occasion. Broglio Chianti Classico, we have I believe 2020 right now on the market.
Yes, we do.
Retailing just a little bit below $30, and it's a rich, complex red wine that is made with the cuvée of Sangiovese that are picked all around our estate. And we might use sometimes also other grape variety, but in small percentage. You have to know that Chianti Classico needs to be at least 80% of Sangiovese.
Right.
And so it's a wine that generally goes well with lots of dishes, let's say from pizza to meatballs, steak, and so on.
Okay, you're getting me hungry here.
but I'm getting prepared because soon I'm going to have dinner, you know.
Yeah, exactly. let's move on to the Riserva. We have the 2019 Broglio Riserva, the Chianti Classico Riserva. So you mentioned some of the things about Riserva. Is it a selection in the vineyard or at the winery or a little bit of both?
It's a selection that is made, as you said, both. To make a long story short, we do harvest of every vineyard parcel separately. We age it separately. And especially for Broglio and Broglio Riserva, we do then the blending in a second moment. Also to keep a certain style of the wine. So Riserva here, I mean, just the word explain itself, is a wine that can be aged for many, many years. This does not mean that Broglio cannot age. In fact, too often we drink Broglio too early. It's a wine that you can also put in the cellar and forget it for many years.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, Riserva is really showing the beauty of our Sangiovese. So a little bit of spices, you have red cherries, plums, long finish, nice color. Yeah. But at the end, is the complexity is very refined and I would say balanced. And this is very important because at the end, a wine is to please our palate and get together with the dish we have in front of us.
Yeah. Now the Broglio Chianti Classico Gran Selezione, which is the new category you were talking about, we have the 2016, which is fantastic here in the marketplace because it's already 7 years old and just beginning to sort of emerge from the bottle. But Gran Selezione, I guess that's what it is. It's a grand selection.
Exactly. And the appellation requires now that has to be not 80, but 90% Sangiovese.
Yeah.
It's a magnificent vintage. 16 is something that right now is totally beautiful to enjoy or still to keep it in the cellar. You know, a winemaker would have said about this vintage, it's the dream vintage of my career because I had to do very little in the sense that nature made it perfect.
Wow.
And really, it's a vintage to put aside or even, of course, to drink it now.
Yeah,
it's just beautiful.
Yeah, I can't wait.
And remember that wine is not a piece of art, but wine is something to share with your friends, the people you love, and to enjoy.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Francesco, I know we're out of time, but you're coming to Vancouver in the spring. You're going to be here at the Vancouver Wine Festival, or just at the end of winter, so people can come by and see, actually meet you at the booth and taste the wine and get to know a bit more about Broglio. And, of course, very quickly, if they want to visit you, is that possible to come and visit the winery when they're in Italy?
Absolutely. Ricasoli.com is where you can get some information, and I'm very happy to be in Vancouver again and to be at the wine festival. And double reason is that Italy is the focus country the festival. So very happy.
Francesco, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure to catch up with you and to taste the Broglio 2020, the Broglio 2019 Reserva, and the Gran Selezione 2016, all in the marketplace in Vancouver. Folks, you won't want to miss these wines. These are food wines, and as Francesco says, wines to share with your friends. Thank you, Francesco.
Grazie, Anthony. Have a great day. Bye.
Grazie. That was Francesco Ricasoli. He's the owner and president of Ricasoli Wine and a family member whose relatives have been living and working in Tuscany since 1141. Available weekly on the radio across British Columbia and on our podcast anytime. This is BC Food and Wine Radio.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton may be known for its wine, but it's also a craft beer paradise. Get to know the Penticton beer scene during the 5th annual Penticton Beer Week and Block Party, happening October 13th through the 22nd. Featuring events at all 8 local breweries, as well as restaurants and other venues all over town, including the always fun Penticton Beer Run. Go to visitpenticton.com for more information on Penticton Beer Week, as well as other upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Join other small businesses on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a BC road trip this fall. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a fall getaway with gorgeous changing colors and menus. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Joining us now is Vessel Liquor General Manager Brent Muller. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving pairings. Brent, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a busy time for you, a lot of people coming in. I don't know, does the clientele change at Thanksgiving, like everybody in, not just regular customers, or is it pretty steady regular?
Yeah, I think people make the trip in, and people are a little bit more excited and willing to try something new over the holiday.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to you. I want to talk to you about wine, but of course, not everybody drinks wine nowadays, and certainly at the start, there's always mixed drinks and whatever. So I thought we'd talk about aperitifs, and maybe if you could share some ideas with us about what you might be serving.
Absolutely. It's always a part of our meal experience, definitely. Something like an Americano, classic bitter aperitif would be an excellent option.
And what's in an Americano, can I ask? Or?
Yeah, Campari, a bit of sweet vermouth and soda. Very simple, a little citrus wheel.
Okay. So the a bit of bitterness there, which gets the palate cooking a bit and wondering about food, I guess.
Absolutely. Sometimes we even enjoy just a little vermouth and soda. Nice quality vermouth, bit of lemon, right? Yeah, fantastic.
And nice quality, when you say nice quality vermouth, what does that entail?
Something a little more serious, maybe a Cocchi from northern Italy. Just has a little bit more bitter, a little more citrus. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, I'm a champagne guy, so now I'm going to ask you, if I was at Vessel, what would you recommend for a sparkling wine or a champagne to greet the guests?
Yeah, I'm also a big fan, so excited for this one. Current favorite, Champagne Villemar Grand Reserve.
Yeah.
It's a really serious wine.
And if it's not champagne, what about a local sparkling wine? Would you have a selection for that?
Sure. How about something from Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards? Maybe even Blanc de Blanc 2018.
Oh yeah, I love that Blanc de Blanc. That is a really lovely wine. Great job being done there at Fitz on sparkling wine. I'll throw mine in at this point. A crowd favorite for me is the Paul Roger Reserve Brut. That would be my champagne pick, and for locally, I'm really falling in love with the champagne or with the sparkling wine from Tinhorn, the 2018 Blanc de Blanc. I don't know if you've had that, but it's really an interesting wine.
I have. Great stuff and amazing value.
Yeah, really good value, $45. So listen, when our guest is Vessel Liquor General Manager Brent Muller, we're talking about Thanksgiving pairings. Well, let's go to the big bird. Turkey is probably the number one pick around the province. So what are you thinking about with turkey? What drives your selections for that?
Sure. Well, I mean, we're always looking for great value wines at Vessel. And I think, something we've really been pushing and trying to promote is wines from the Beaujolais, and particularly some of the crus. So in this case, I'd like to talk about the Clos de la Rayette Fleury 2021.
Nice. So yeah, Beaujolais, let's talk about the grape. That's Gamay.
Yeah, Gamay Noir, a little like juicy, nice red berries, some floral characters. And in this case with the cru, nice little savory earthiness and a beautiful acidity.
Yeah, I think that savoriness is a great match with the turkey. By the way, a Beaujolais cru, so is there 10 now or 11? I'm losing track. They keep adding them on, but...
10 crews these days.
10 crews. Yeah. Okay, so many of them are available across the province. I also had a thought about, there's a new wine out in BC. I don't know if you had it. Of course, Paul Mas is a well-respected gentleman from the south of France in the Languedoc, and there's a new wine out called L'Artisan Le Grenache Noir, so it's 100% Grenache, south of France, $19.99, really good value, and the same sort of juiciness and savoriness that you're talking about in Gamay can show up in this Grenache, so I think they're perfect for turkey.
Yeah, I really like that pick. Just the vibrant fruit and the juiciness like we were talking there would be perfect.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to have salmon. Let's talk about that. I know maybe what the grape is, but what are you thinking about for salmon?
Yeah, I'm thinking traditional Pinot Noir and Chardonnay pairings.
Yeah.
And, we all know these days, the price of some wine categories are creeping up. So, good to find some other alternatives. In this case, for me, in Oregon, really known for those varieties.
Yep. Can you give us a name from Oregon?
Yeah,
that we can find it.
a favorite producer, Bergstrom, a small family winery. I love the Old Stones Chardonnay and Cumberland Reserve Pinot Noir, both of the 2020 vintage.
Yeah. Well, I like those picks, by the way, Brent, because I'm a big fan of, say you would take both of these bottles and put them on the table, so there'd be a white and a red. That way, people who want white can drink the Chardonnay, and those who want red can drink the Pinot, and the conversation should continue. I mean, mostly Thanksgiving for me is just about, you know, friends and family around the table, and not so much about the wine. Like, let's just have good wine, but let's have better conversation. So that's a nice pick. Locally, I was thinking about, because I know it's widely available through the BCLDB, believe it or not, it's the Tantalus Pinot Noir, the 2021, which sells for about $36 a bottle. It's really a sensational bottle.
Yeah, great. Yeah, great pick. Yeah, just as you know, as well as the communal part of Thanksgiving is also the diversity of the meal, and I think Pinot Noir and Chardonnay are great, always present food wines. So
yeah. Okay, I got a lot of friends who always cook a ham, so that I said I'd ask you about ham. What can you give us for the ham on Thanksgiving?
This time I was thinking of Sirius Rosé from the south of France, an amazing producer, Domaine de la Mordere Tavel, Demeter certified biodynamic, a rosé with structure and seriousness, lots of fruit.
Yeah.
I think it would be great with the ham.
Yeah, and well, Tavel is I would say it's a well-known appellation to wine freaks, but other people may not know that area. But this is in the Rhone Valley, and it's a sort of a structurally bigger rosé and often darker in the glass. But it seems to me it would have the perfect all the perfect parts to fit with ham, with a richer dish like ham, or even with the turkey. How about BC?
Absolutely. Yeah, BC wise.
Yeah.
Maybe La Stella, La Stellina Rosato, I think would be a good option as well. In this case, Merlot dominant, but a little more color, but also still that juiciness and seriousness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love that La Stella. And the color of that wine and the scent of that rosé is just fantastic, a Rosato, as they would say down at La Stella. Those are great picks, Brent. I'm thinking about one wine also widely available, probably even in your store, and that's the Pesky Ventoux Terrasses Rouge, the 2020, and that's a Grenache Syrah blend. Another wine that I think, you know, has the juiciness and the weight to go with the ham, but it's not too big. Like, it won't overpower the ham.
Absolutely, again, excellent value. I know we've spoken about the Pesky wines before. Just always over deliver. They also make white and rosé that are fantastic as well.
Yeah. Our guest is the Vessel Liquor General Manager, Brent Muller. We're talking about Thanksgiving wines. By the way, folks, we'll get these up on our social media site. So if you don't have a pen or your phone or you're taping it, I don't know how you do it these days, but we'll get these out to you over the next few days so you can use them while you're shopping. The vegetarian is always someone who's at the dinner table now. Let's talk about what their needs might be and what would you decide to serve there?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's more and more common. Myself, I've been a vegetarian for many years, so it's something that, you know, that I get excited to talk about. In this case, you know, I think Grüner Veltliner would be an awesome choice for the vegetarian, sort of sometimes a little more spice or a little more interesting or diverse flavor profiles, but also with the diversity of the side dishes, which is what makes, you know, a Thanksgiving meal so wonderful as well.
Yeah. And can you pick one for us from Vessel or Grüner?
Yeah, I like Domaine Wachau, the Terrassen Federspiel Grüner Veltliner. Amazing value. 2022, $25. Can't lose.
Sounds great. I discovered one. I know it's been around for a bit, but I hadn't had it. The Observatory Grüner Veltliner, which is made by the young man who makes the wines on the Naramata bench for Howling Bluff. This is a delicious wine, too, for people who want to check out a Grüner Veltliner, which I think is doing pretty well in B.C. We don't have many, but they look well-suited to British Columbia.
Absolutely. That sort of high-acid a style freshness that we're really, you know, really known for. In this case, a little more spiciness and interest.
Vegetarians like beer, too. What can you do for that?
Yeah, I think a really interesting pairing would be a Belgian lambic, in particular a creek. So Belgian wild ale fermented with sour cherries. I think thinking cranberry sauce, all the different.
Yeah, that sounds great. Brent, we're almost out of time, but we're at dessert, so let's talk about that. Sometimes dessert can just be the wine, or it can match up with dessert. What have you come up with for Thanksgiving?
I thought I'd feature De Bordelis Noble One Botrytis Semillon, a little nod back to Sauternes, but from Australia in this case. Amazing stuff.
Actually, a big nod. That wine is so impressive, even in blind tastings. A lot of people just get blown away by that wine. So the De Bordelis Noble One is a great choice. I went off the charts a bit with a Tokaj Azu 5 Petonius from Chateau de Resla. I hope I got that right. I love these wines, too. They have a certain energy and an acidity level that makes them lively as well. And both of the wines that we've just recommended for dessert could be dessert. Brent, thanks so much for joining us today. Really enjoyed our chat, and we'll get all of these up on our social media sites for people to check out. And listen, if you are a guest at Vessel Liquor, you will be treated so well by the folks there. They love to help you out. They have a lot of education and knowledge, and they share it with you like nobody else. Brent, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks again for having me, Anthony.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving as well.
Okay, folks, drop by Vessel Liquor in Oak Bay in Victoria or visit vesselliquor.com where you can order wines to be shipped to you across British Columbia. Our guest was Brent Muller, General Manager at Vessel Liquor, but still to come, Mark Hicken, the well-known wine and liquor industry lawyer, has a new job that could affect the future of all of us when it comes to alcohol.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credba. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, Langley is an agriculturally rich area, and as we near the start of fall, what are some of the ways we can celebrate the harvest?
The start of the harvest season brings two items that Langley has become very well known for, cranberries and pumpkins.
I imagine there must be an assortment of farms to visit.
That's right. You can visit locations such as Alder Acres, Krause Berry Farms, Loft Country, or Eagle Acres Dairy to pick the perfect pumpkin. And over at the Bog Riverside Cranberry Farm, you have the opportunity to see and learn about a working cranberry bog, and you can purchase items made from their cranberries.
Do other local businesses incorporate harvest items into their menus or offerings?
Absolutely. Milner Valley Cheese makes a fantastic cranberry shove. I've seen local craft breweries offer cranberry and pumpkin beer, just to name a few.
Langley's well known for its signature harvest celebration. What can you tell us about that?
That's right. The annual Cranberry Festival takes place October 7th in Fort Langley and is an opportunity to shop a large variety of vendors and, of course, purchase fresh cranberries.
It also sounds like the perfect opportunity to forage for Thanksgiving dinner ingredients in one place. Anything else we shouldn't miss in Langley this fall?
Equally popular to the Cranberry Festival, but completely different, is Grave Tales at the Fort Langley National Historic Site.
Okay, I don't think I've heard about that. What can you tell us?
Grave Tales is a tour through Fort Langley Village at night where expert storytellers take you on a 2 or 3 hour walk and share spine-chilling stories including the history of Fort Langley.
And as always, complete details for the events are on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Mark Hicken. Many of you will know Mark as a wine and liquor industry lawyer. He was also the BC government advisor on liquor policy, but now he has a new job. He's the executive director of the newly formed Canadian Alliance for Responsible Drinkers. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Anthony.
Well, I think I'm happy to have you on. It's an important topic. I could say off the top that I think Canadians are pretty responsible drinkers, but I know that won't just cut it with what's going on. So let's start with that. What have you launched? Why have you launched it? What is going on with the Canadian Alliance for Responsible Drinkers?
Well, as you mentioned, I was the liquor policy advisor to the BC government for a while. And recently there's been what I would say is some very confusing messaging that has been going out related to alcohol and health issues. People might have seen that. You know, you've seen reports of two drinks per week, no safe level of alcohol consumption.
Right.
And the reason why we formed this group is because I strongly believe that this is misleading information and that it's damaging information. And it's not going to be helpful to people at all in respect of the choices that they make with respect to healthy alcohol consumption.
Yeah. You know, it sounds a bit to me like a COVID thing and where there's information and science and people are just not believing it. Or how did we get to this point where we're talking about only two drinks and people are saying no more than that?
Well, you know, I think that these are recommendations that were put forward by a small group of advisors
right.
that were asked by Health Canada at taxpayers' expense, I mentioned, to do this. And I think that the process became subverted at some point, because what's come out of it is really just contrary to common sense. We all have friends and family who safely consumed in moderation throughout their whole lives and lived to a healthy old age. And these new recommendations, they're contrary to decades of scientific research. You know, hundreds of studies over the many, many years have shown that those who drink in moderation live about as long or even a bit longer than those who drink at all. So I think that what's happened here is we have got a situation where the science has in fact not changed. Studies continue to show those results in terms of moderate drinking. But what's happened is that the people who are looking at them, I think it's a group of sort of ideologically driven people who are interpreting the data in a different way. So I think that's what the problem is, and I think that we need a more sensible and balanced and reasonable way to look at this, particularly with respect to health, public health messaging, which is really important that people have confidence in that. And I don't think people have confidence at all in what's come out of this report.
Yeah. Our guest is Mark Hicken. He's the executive director of the Canadian Alliance for Responsible Drinkers, or CART. Mark, I know that Health Canada asked for this, but they didn't actually accept the recommendations at this point.
That's absolutely correct. Health Canada did ask for it, but this, as I said, this is an advisory group that provided a set of recommendations. But Health Canada has not accepted the recommendations. And, you know, people have probably seen lots of, you know, reports about the recommendations, and the authors have been running around publicizing them. But
yeah,
if you actually look on the Health Canada website, you go to their website, you'll see that the guidelines have not changed. They're exactly the same as they were before. And, you know, our group particularly thinks that those guidelines should stay the way they were before. It was a very sensible set of guidelines that was put out originally. And, it makes sense in terms of you look at other jurisdictions around the world that have similar guidelines. It also makes sense in terms of the overall government policy approach, which is kind of what I have experience with. Historically, sure. What we've done in Canada and BC is we've focused on harmful consumption. And that's worked. You mentioned right at the beginning, you said that, most Canadians drink in moderation, and that's absolutely true. Statistics Canada, they recently reported the lowest levels of heavy drinking they have ever seen in Canada. So the approach that we've adopted in the past has worked, and I think this new approach is actually quite likely to cause problems. Switching to a message where you're telling 100% of Canadians that you shouldn't drink at all is a foolish message that people are not going to listen to, and particularly, somebody who has a drinking problem is not going to listen to that message at all. They're just going to tune out.
Yeah. Well, I should say, obviously, I make a living talking about wine. In fact, I've made a living never really talking about alcohol because I just believe that a glass of wine with dinner is something it's cultural. It's not harmful, in my opinion, if it's handled responsibly. And so I wonder what else. Like, let's talk a little bit about the future, what you'll be talking about. Like, I have some issues. Like, first of all, in the U.S., it's 21. Here it's 18. I'm not sure why we even have those guidelines. I think we could do better than that. The government sells alcohol, so it's hard for them to enforce policy. That's another issue that's kind of crazy for me. But I'm a bit worried about the World Health Organization, too, because they're really on this rampage of treating alcohol, going down that road like cigarettes, and they decided that they're going to shame drinkers out of drinking. What do you think about all that that's coming our way?
I agree with you that there is a worrying agenda that's coming out of the World Health Organization. And again, I think that even at the international level, you've got a small group of ideological people who are very anti-alcohol. And I think that agenda is wrong. I think you're absolutely right. Drinking wine and alcohol in moderation has been part of many cultures and civilizations for thousands of years. And I think that this agenda where you sort of send out a message that you're going to focus on moderate consumption and try and reduce moderate consumption is not helpful at all. I think it's going to cause people to tune out of the messaging, as I said, and I think it's quite likely to cause an increase in public health problems, not a decrease. So yeah. I think that is a incorrect way of looking at things, and it's abandoning a strategy that has been extremely successful for the past few decades.
Yeah. Well, so much to cover in this, Mark. Let's talk about at the website CAFRD, by the way, folks, CAFRD.ca, the Canadian Association for Responsible Drinkers. You've got a lot of information there that people can at least read up on. And I think for all of us, the big message is get informed. Don't just walk around saying stuff. Read the science, get informed, and make a decision that makes sense for you and your lifestyle and the lifestyle of your friends.
That is exactly what we're about. We think that people should consider their own lifestyle, their genetics, their diet, all of those different things. And some people may decide, they're not going to drink at all, or they're going to drink, very lightly. Moderate consumption, we've got lots of information on the website about that. We've got medical studies, we've got research studies, we've got lots of commentary. So people can look on there and they can make a decision for themselves. And we think that that's the most important way to go about it. It's not a one-size-fits-all kind of issue, and
right.
It shouldn't be approached that way. It should be approached by people informing themselves about the risks and deciding for themselves what an appropriate level of consumption is for them if they decide they're going to drink at all.
Yeah. And by the way, for our listeners, check out bluezones.com, the five regions in the world that stand out for their extraordinary longevity and vitality, the people that live there. And one of the key components is having a glass of wine regularly, and they're living the longest in the world. So there's plenty of info out there. You can make your own mind up, but the key is do the work, do the reading, and then make your mind up. Don't just get out there on your own. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Real pleasure to talk to you today, and good luck with the Canadian Association for Responsible Drinkers. It sounds like you've got a lot on your plate.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
That was Mark Hicken, Executive Director of the Canadian Alliance for Responsible Drinkers. Up next, Annalisa Simonson, Director of Operations, and Kaylee Jorgensen, Director of Marketing at Creek and Gully Cider, join us with some Thanksgiving cider talk. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Plan your family road trip this fall to Penticton. Stop in for a visit to one of the local wineries. Be sure to mark your calendar for October 21st and 22nd, Penticon, Penticton's annual pulp culture festival. It's two full days dedicated to pulp culture on every level. Whatever your genre or hobby, there's a place for you there. Before you go, make sure to check the website for family vacation packages, family-friendly activities and attractions, and more upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
A ring-a-ding-ding. Time for happy hour at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Featuring wine by the glass starting at just $5, along with the most fabulous gourmet bites the West Side has ever seen. Daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Plus, join us for Tommy and Tannen Tuesdays. Order a giant tomahawk ribeye and get your first bottle of Mount Boucherie Reserve Merlot for just $5. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
People always ask us, how do you taste? What we don't do is taste one wine in isolation. We choose a grape or a style of wine, then we taste a number of samples from around the world, so we're constantly benchmarking the quality of, say, BC Chardonnay versus Burgundy, the Sonoma Coast, Argentina, or New Zealand. That way we get a better picture of where that wine sits globally, and our readers often benefit from getting more wine for less money. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Why not compare wines with us at GismondiOnWine.com?
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout out to Terrace and all 25 other cities across the province. We had a lot of laughs when we spoke with our next two guests earlier this year. It was summertime when we visited the Naramata Bench, and our guests were just so full of life. Annalisa Simonson, Director of Operations, and Kaylee Jorgensen, Director of Marketing at Creek and Gully Cider. They're just such a great pair, and cider is probably one of the best things to have with turkey. They're next on the show. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Let's start with where you're located, and tell us a little bit of about the history of the property.
Yeah, so I guess I can take that one because my family has been farming in Naramata for 4 or 5 generations now.
Oh, my God. You're a Naramatian.
Yeah, a pretty old one. Yeah, we have some of the oldest apple trees in Naramata. But our cidery is located on the Naramata Bench.
Mm-hmm.
just kind of across from Hillside and Lock and Worth, to give everybody context of where it is. We're on 11 acres of certified organic orchard, but we farm 55 in total.
Wow. Now, if I went back to the first generation, would the apples be the same as the ones that I'm seeing today at the property, or has it changed a lot?
Well, we have about 5 acres of that original planting, so those are certainly the, you know, the old school apples. Mm-hmm. They're actually like an older version of some of those more common apple varieties as well.
Right.
Like we have a Red Delicious that was planted in 1912. If you were to try that next to a common Red Delicious planted these days, it would be an entirely
It'd be a lot better,
experience.
I bet.
Yeah, it would be.
I'm sure of it. Well, I don't know that much about cider, but it used to be that there was like cider apples and there was eating apples. Is that all changed now?
Apples are very interesting because...
More than people.
Yeah. So inside of an apple, there's 5 seeds. Each of those seeds will be genetically completely unique from its parent.
Oh my God, you're my best friend now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So traditionally, the cider apples will be smaller. They'll be biennial, which means they'll be on 1 year and off the next year. So you'd have a less of a predictable crop. But apple flavors are based on sweetness, acidity, and tannins. Mm-hmm. So dessert apples will more fall into a spectrum of high sugar, lower acid,
yep.
And traditional apples will be quite bitter and not very nice for eating, but those flavors will give you a lot of amazing things that happen during fermentation. So we combine the two. We sell apples for eating commercially, and then we use our seconds or bruised or maybe a not cosmetically appealing for a grocery store apple for our cider. So yeah. We combine a bit of both.
No waste.
Yes, we try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you growing, you're growing organically.
Yes.
Is that an easy thing to do with apples, or is it?
It's easier to do with apples than some other fruits, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we've been certified for 39 years now. So the very first in Naramata to be certified, it was probably less easy at that point than it is these days.
39 years? They should have a chapel there out in front of your
place. Seriously,
you
yeah.
You should be awarded just that.
Well, that's what the cidery is, the apple chapel.
Yeah. That's fantastic. 39 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's Peter Simonson, our farmer, who chose to make that choice. But yeah, it's a pretty cool thing.
So a young person who knows nothing should come down and see you if they want to learn more about growing organically.
Well, I can, make some stuff up, but really they should talk to Peter.
Yeah.
You can make some stuff up. Okay, you brought a couple of things to taste today. What shall we start with?
I would suggest Flora. It's
yeah.
our house cider. It is a blend of, the largest blend of apples that we do in any given season.
Mm-hmm.
And because we are using these blemished apples coming off of our farm, we never know what we're going to get. So Flora kind of gives us that wiggle room to, allow for changeability from season to season.
It's a beautiful name.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we call it
our
field blend.
I would buy that just because it's called Flora.
It's beautiful,
yeah,
right?
And
yeah.
The can has a lovely piece of artwork on it as well.
Yes. The artwork is our friend Jamie Everard, and she's a Vancouver artist. She shows out of the Baugie Gallery in Granville Street, and she does these beautiful, naturalistic, large-scale watercolor and oil paintings, and she was generous enough to let us use her paintings for the labels, and where it's so nice to be able to play off somebody else's work who, she does the paintings outside here and comes to visit often. So it's nice to have a visual that goes along with our product on the inside.
Wow. And what a lovely product.
Thank you.
I love all that that fruit. And there's a promise of sweetness, but then it finishes dry, which is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. That leaves me wanting more or having something to eat or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just a great way to go.
Thanks. Yeah. So all of our ciders are bottle or can conditioned. So they're creating their own carbonation by fermenting within the vessel itself.
Yeah.
So it just goes till the sugar is gone. And that's what creates your carbonation.
They're ancestral.
They
exactly.
are.
Just
yes.
in a can.
Yeah. Well, I honestly don't know that people know that much about the machinations of what goes on to make a cider.
Mm-hmm.
They just think it's something you drink in the summertime. Actually, people drink it all the year round now. Is that right? Yes. Like it's not just seasonal.
Yes, we actually do an amazing event in the wintertime. It's called a wassail. So it's an ode back to the English tradition of you would soak a piece of bread and make a giant vat of warm cider with spices, and you'd go with the soaked piece of bread and the cider and light torches and give thanks to the apple spirits for the next harvest. So
I thought there was going to be witches in this story, too. It sounds like a really
There's not witches. Yeah.
Wow.
But we have a big bonfire, and we've got music, and we make a big vat of spice cider, and so it definitely isn't all year long.
My guests are Annalisa Simonson and Kaylee Jorgensen there from Creek and Gully Cider. So I want to get to the next product, which is in a glass bottle, but the first was in a can. What's going on? Does it matter anymore, or how does that work?
So it definitely changes the product. When we're putting something into a bottle, we can build it to a much higher atmosphere of pressure, which means it can have more bubbles.
Yep.
A can just cannot hold nearly as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Certainly. I believe a bottle can hold about 3 times the pressure of your car tire.
Yeah.
And a can is about a quarter of that.
Yeah. And it kind of looks like champagne, too.
Yeah, yes. Certainly. We are riddling and disgorging our bottles as well, which means we can actually get that sedimentation out of our bottles once they're done fermenting within there to create their CO2.
Right.
A lot harder to do that with a can.
And do you top them up or with dosage, or is it a special hidden mystery mixture?
Or do you take a bottle and fill
it up
bottle.
With another bottle. Mm-hmm. I like that.
We're very low tech. Everything's done by hand. You know, we try and make something that's really authentic and tasty, and we always say that we wanted to make something that we wanted to drink. So we're always excited by the experimentation and freedom for us to be able to play with different containers and vessels and fruits and, you know, just expand and have that that sense of play, which is fun.
Yeah. Kaylee, you got a couple little kids.
Yes.
They're like the luckiest kids in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
You're the happiest mother I've ever met.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing to be in a place where you can have space and be in nature and just be able to
hang out with the fifth generation.
Exactly.
Well, they would be six.
They're
six.
Six. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. We haven't put them to work yet, but they seem keen. Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. Okay. Let's try this.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
So this is plum. So
what a nose.
Wow. Yeah. It's a combination of Italian kiss prune plums and crab apple juice. And those Italian kiss plums are farmed on our Naramata Bench property. And really, they were planted by one of the original farmers as a way to stop the bank from eroding. So in order to pick them every year, we kind of have to climb the trees and risk falling down the bank.
Wow.
But it's pretty worth it. We only make about 40 cases of this.
Well, it's always fun kissing Italian,
I agree.
Yeah, it's got this beautiful color and a really fine mousse.
The mousse is great.
Delicious.
And it's the same sort of thing. A lot of stuff happening up front, and then it dries out nicely in the back end and keeps you – there's a little bit of bitterness, too. It adds some complexity to it.
And some tannin from the plum skins.
Yeah. Does it have a name?
Oh, plum
this
is its
just
name.
Plum.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We went from these very abstracted...
cerebral.
names like Flora to really just describing what's in the bottle.
The C&G Plum 2022.
Yes.
Nice. Vintage.
Yes.
Fantastic to meet you. Our guests were Annalisa Simonson, Director of Operations, and Kaylee Jorgensen, Director of Marketing at Creek and Gully Cider. If that doesn't make you want to buy cider, I don't know what will. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a glorious Thanksgiving long weekend with family and friends and some fine bottles of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.